Yehoshua Perek Zayin. What was the main topic of Yehoshua Perek Zayin? It's been a little while. Main topic of Yehoshua Perek Zayin. Good. Let's add, throw out some key words. We've got I. Key words, Yehoshua Perek Zayin. Themes, structure, topic.
Shalal.
Shalal. If anybody wants to go for the obvious ones, that's also fine.
Chayram.
Achan, thank you. That's the first one, but yes. Achan. Anything else? Anything else? There's at least one other really key word here, although Chayram definitely takes precedence over it. What? Two words, actually. Not really.
I'm just going to say words and say
I didn't catch Shalal.
Oh, no, I meant to say room, I guess.
Oh, okay, because I was going to say Shalal, it doesn't come up as much as the other words.
Yeah.
Okay. Just another word that comes up a lot is Me'ila.
What about Yilachay?
Yilkedena, yeah, the, Yilkedenu, yeah.
What is the translation of that word?
Our scroll translates it as singled out.
Okay. I know it comes up in different.
Yeah,
I was
wondering about that word.
Yeah. There's a lot of actually very interesting words here, and there's some interesting wordplay here in the middle of the parak. The only other word that I would throw out, certainly that's at least emphasized within the first few psukim of the parak, and relates and is just interestingly letter wise related to the word me'ila, is Vaya'al, meaning la'alot.
It's related to what word?
The letters are very similar. Mi'ila, Vaya'al, la'alot.
Oh, okay.
But it comes up multiple times at the beginning. Take a look at the first Yisukim, and take a look at Pasuk Bet already. Vayishlach Yeshua Anashim Yericho Ha'ay, Asher Im Beit Avin Miketen Levet El, Vayomer Aleihem, Leimor Alu, Viraglu, Vechule, Viraglu Et Ha'aretz, Vaya'alu Ha'anashim. Next pasuk, Vayashuva El Yeshua, Vayomru Elav, Al Ya'al Kol Ha'am, Kalpayim Ish, O Keshoshet Alafim Ish, Ya'alu, Vayakua'ai. Next pasuk, Vaya'al Min Ha'am. There seems to be the emphasis on La'alot, certainly at the beginning, yeah.
What does Me'ila mean?
Me'ila means to a theft of consecrated property. Is that a fair translation? A theft of consecrated property. It also is translated loosely, I guess, as treachery, but it is treacherous to steal consecrated property. Okay? The question is, what's happening in this story? Was there a question? If you go to the Beit HaMikdash and take something, that's Me'ila. If one were to say, this table is the property of the Beit HaMikdash, and then they were to go and take that table and use it, that's using consecrated property, that's Me'ila. It was more relevant when there was a Beit HaMikdash and things that actually belonged to it, but...
Even Beshogeg?
This was not Beshogeg.
What was it?
This situation, he went and stole Chayram.
Oh, no. I meant Me'ila in general. That's usually an issue if it's on purpose, or... Even if you do it by accident, you didn't know, like, someone designated something.
Oh, so that's a great, I'm sure, Gemara question. I would imagine that there's pages of ink spilled on that question, but that's not our question here. Okay. Good. So let's start engaging Perek Zayin. First of all, in terms of the breakdown of the Parshiot, we have a very nice kind of seeming introductory Parshia. That's comprised of two psukim. Yehoshua Perek Vav, Pasuk Chavav, and Yehoshua Perek Vav, Pasuk Chavzayin, and Yehoshua Perek Zayin, Pasuk Aleph. Right, one of those indications where the Torah is trying to tell us something then might be seemingly the case to the human mind or the human eye. by intentionally grouping two psukim together that are actually don't seem like they should be put together. Let's read them together. Vayehi Hashem et Yehoshua, Vayehi Shema b'chol ha'aretz. And we see the God of the Yehoshua, they just finished destroying Yericho, everything's going great. Right? We've begun the conquest of the land, and we see that God is totally and completely with Yehoshua. Fantastic. What happens next? They went and they stole some of the consecrated property. They stole things from Yericho that they shouldn't have stolen from Yericho because everything in Yericho was not for them to take. Achan ben Karmi, ben Zavdi, ben Zerach, lemate Yehuda. Achan, and there seems to be, and I'm not 100% sure what the meaning of it is, an obsession within the text of the lineage of Achan, which I'm sure has significance, but I don't know what it is. Minachirim, vayicharaf Hashem b'vnei Yisrael. Two seemingly totally opposite psukim. What can we maybe learn from the fact that they're two opposite psukim?
Like the fact that they are contrasting?
Right. Like, instead of saying they belong in different prukim, let's say, no, the Torah is telling us there's supposed to be a contrast here. Right. So what's the contrast?
Like, the fact that they're so different from each other. Like, one of them, it seems like one's like a positive thing, obviously, and the other one's like very negative. So.
Good. Get more specific.
Yehoshua versus Ben Israel.
I would say that that's what's being contrasted here. And it's, I think, even more poignant because the verse itself specifies B'nai Yisrael by name, both twice, at the beginning and the end of the Pasuk, V'yimal'u B'nai Yisrael ma'al b'cherem, and then at the end, V'yicharaf Hashem b'v'nai Yisrael, even though who sins? Achan. Achan seems to be somehow a representation of the people. Achan, even though he's an individual, is a representation of the people. And it's putting this this contrast between Yehoshua and B'nai Yisrael. Yehoshua's doing great, B'nai Yisrael still have a way to go. And B'nai Yisrael somehow are being represented by Achan.
Also the fact that, like, for the first of Zion, right? It only mentions Yehoshua in relation to Hashem, and then the second one is talking about just Nisra.
Mm-hmm.
We separated so much. You know?
And the only time that Hashem is mentioned in Pasuk Aleph is Vayicharaf Hashem right. Bnei Israel. Right? Mm-hmm. As opposed to Vayi Hashem et Yehoshua, God being with Yehoshua and his being angry with Bnei Israel. There's this clear divide. A bridge which we're going to have to get... gap? Is that how you say it? Bridge we're going to have to get?
Gap.
We're going to have to bridge. I was like, it didn't sound right. Anyway, yes. Gap, we're going to have to bridge. Taking a look forward, we now have to deal with this stolen cherem and understand what the consequences are of the theft of this cherem. I think that the opening pasuk there in the next parsha in pasuk bet is also hinting to this as well, even with the names of the places. Watch what happens next. Vayishlach Yeshua anachshim mi Yericho. He sends people out of Yericho, ha'ai, to ai, asher im beit aven, mikedem lebeit el. I don't know if this is, this is pure speculation, but what does aven mean in English?
Not Evan.
Aven. What? It means a sin. Ish aven machshavotav. It means a sin.
Is that how you spell it?
Is it with an ayin? Like I said, that was speculation. Could be wrong. I would hope that would be right. I don't know. I'll double check. Can you actually check in there?
It's
with an ayin?
Yeah.
Oh, I was really hoping for that. I was seeing what I wanted to see. Fair enough. Okay. No, that's not good enough for me. Okay, I thought that it was maybe an idea of us moving away from Beit El, that we're moving away from the house of God and going out forward in a way that was inappropriate. That still holds. It would have been nice if the Aleph here was 9, but it's not. So, in any way, let's focus on the stuff that is definitely clear. What is clear is that the word Alu is emphasized consistently and continuously in the beginning of the parak, right? We just read through them before. The word la'alot or alu appears 1, 2, 3, 4 times in those 5 times in those first few psukim. What does la'alot imply? Not just going up from one place to another place, but what does it mean la'alot if you think about it in a more conceptual way?
Having kedusha?
Halabai. No, not in this case. To raise oneself up.
Make yourself
a certain level of haughtiness.
Yeah.
vaya'alu, they're intentionally going up, which is totally reflected in the way in which they go forward, right? What do? They go and they go up. They go up thinking that they're going to win. They go up and they send spies and everything's going to be fine. They come back and say, listen, let's not waste the whole nation on this campaign. We only need a few, we only need some people to go, everybody else can stay back. There's a clear sense of an overconfidence on behalf of Bnei Israel that their external victory at Jericho seems to have put them in a place where they feel super confident about going forward in their war with Ai, to the extent where they're like, oh, we'll go up, we'll be fine, God's with us, nothing to worry about, everything's good, we only need a few troops, we scoped out the situation, everything's going to be fine. And I think that that emphasis on Vaya'alu is trying to bring out the fact that they're not as high as they think that they are, that they think that they're in a different place. That being then immediately contrasted by their fall, right? They try to rise themselves up and then they're immediately defeated. In Pasuk K, Vayakumehem Anshei Ha'ai, Kesholshet V'shisha Ish, Vayardefum Lifnei Hashar, they run away. Ad HaShvarim, that sense of brokenness, that's definitely the Shever is what it means, right? Ad HaShvarim, they go to a place called Shvarim, but they go to a place of brokenness. Their spirit is broken by this loss. Vayakum vamora, vayimas levav ha'am, vayulamayim, and they're totally melt, just like the nations melted before them. Now suddenly they're melting before the nations. Their hearts broken, their hearts melting, their hearts in a place where they're not sure if they can succeed. And Yoshua immediately responds. Yoshua recognizes the weight of what happened. He recognizes the weight of the repercussions of what just occurred, because he immediately throws himself before our own Brit Hashem. Alana, you want to see if somebody outside?
No. I think there is someone
there. Yeah, it looks like there is. He immediately throws himself, Lifnei Aron Hashem. Yoshua is doing fine with God as Yehoshua. And if we draw back on all of the imagery that we emphasized in Perek Vav, about how all of the war campaign, remember we talked about we had the circle of Jericho and we were going around it, but the way in which we were going around was to have the Aron in the center, then we had the front guard, and then we had the rear guard, and we had the Kohanim who were around the Aron. We talked about how any military campaign that was going to happen over the course of the conquest had to have the Aron as a representative of the Torah inside of it, as a representative of the Luchot inside of it, as a representative of Hashem, that Hashem and the Aaron had to be in the midst of the people and the midst of their hearts. But if God is not with them, they will not win. And so Yeshua, who, as we saw in the preface to this parak, he's still with God. He still understands the nature and the importance of that connection. He immediately throws himself in front of the Aaron Hashem. What word is also perhaps somewhat awkwardly missing from this description of Lifnei Aaron Hashem? The word brit's not there anymore. We're missing the word brit. Because what did Bnei Yisrael do? They broke their covenant with God. And so he throws himself lifnei Aron Hashem, because God is with them, not recognizing perhaps that brit wasn't there, because Bnei Yisrael removed that brit. They broke that covenant. And that's what God then emphasizes on the opposite side. Taking a look at Pasuk Yud. Vayomer Hashem Yehoshua, kum lach, get up. I wonder if this kum is somehow contrasted to the vaya'alu, meaning build yourself up, get up, versus already assuming you're in a high place. Perhaps. The word kam comes up twice in the discussion with Yehoshua. Kum lach, lama ze atano fel apanecha? Chatai shal, they sinned. V'gam avru et briti. That's when the brit comes back in the perek. A recognition that the brit is gone, that the brit was broken. That's when the brit comes back in. Asher tziviti otam, v'gam lakhu min ha'cherem, they took from the cherem, v'gam ganvu, v'gam kichashu, v'gam san'u bichlehem. Now, in terms of this word cherem, which means consecrated property, it also has a different meaning. What does cherem also mean? Watch the next pasuk with the play on words. V'lo yuchlu b'nei Yisrael lakum lifnei oyvehem oref. They wouldn't be able lakum to stand up before their enemies. They would turn the back of their necks before their enemies when they're running. Kiayu lecherem. They will be for destruction. But the lecherem here is a play on words. This is because of the cherem that they took, but also they will be destroyed because of the cherem that they took. Meaning what they took in order to think that they could take for themselves that they wanted would really be the source of their destruction. Lo osif liyot imachem im lo tashmidu hacherem mikir bechem. Right? You won't be able, I will not further be with you unless you remove this cherem from within you. Meaning the cherem is the source of their destruction, and the cherem both is what they did wrong and the destruction itself. This kind of play on words there. And then again, kum, get up again. But kum and do what in the next pasuk? Next word, kadesh. First word, the first time the word kedusha comes up, which is twice in this central pasuk. Kum kadesh, sanctify yourself. And we talked about extensively the fact that kedusha is integral to being able to be in Eretz Yisrael. And so there was a lack of kedusha here. In what way was there a lack of kedusha here? And watch how the... Oh, that in a second. It's a very powerful pasuk. Kum kadesh et ha'am, sanctify the nation, va'amarta, and tell them, hitkadshu lemachar, sanctify yourself for tomorrow. Ki cho amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael, because God has said to you, cherem where? Bikir becha. Cherem is, perhaps, literally and figuratively, within you. Keep that in mind, right? That this could be more than just there is cherem there, there's cherem in you. Lo tuchal lakum lifnei oivecha ki ad hasirchem hacherem mikir bechem. You won't be able to overcome your enemies until you remove the cherem from within you. What I suspect is happening here, in this emphasis on kedusha, the way that it's defined, lekadesh means to separate. In terms of kiddushin, when a person gets married, the idea, the way the Tosfot there in the first daf kiddushin talks about kedusha, kiddushin means harayat mizumenet li, harayat lilintu, that the person is totally separate for that other person, that there's a relationship only between those two people. There's a pure dedication to one thing. What happens when Bnei Yisrael go and take cherem? They break the brit, which is interesting then when you use the word brit. Because Brit Milah is all about a purity in a focus of relationship with one particular individual only. That's the Brit Milah. That's the Brit with Asana Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Brit that Abraham makes at Brit Bein Abitarim. That there needs to be a total focus only on God. We break the Brit, and so there's a lack of Kedusha. There's a lack of focus on God, that God is always the goal, that God always has to be the center. And if we take God out of the center, there's Cherem Bikir Bechem. There's destruction inside of you. There's the things that you stole inside of you. There's your desires that are inside of you. But you've removed HaKadosh Baruch Hu from within you. And you replace it with V'cherem Bikir Bechem. And so now you need to go back and be Mekadesh yourself. You need to go and dig deep, deep, deep within yourself, I think is the metaphor that's being used here. Meaning what happens then in the process of finding Achan? It's a process of slowly but surely peeling away the layers. First the Shevet. Then the Beit Av, then the family, then the person. Eventually we're going to go closer and closer and closer to the individual place in Klal Yisrael, or the individual place in every person in Klal Yisrael, for which Achan represents, to uproot that sense of, as long as it looks like I'm doing my Avodah Hashem, everything will be fine. The answer is no. Your military campaign can't work. Your reality in this world can't work unless you actually have God at your center and you remove any rotten roots, to quote Sukkim from the end of Devarim, which are being charged to Israel as they go into Israel, pen yishlachem shoresh parel rosh v'la'ana, lest there be an infested root within you, which could end up being your destruction. Remove that infested root. And we literally go through a process of sifting and sifting and sifting till we very, in a really grand and overt way, find Achan. It's not just like, take out the Urim V'Tumim or make a goral and then find Achan's name. We go through a process of peeling away the layers and revealing Achan as that rotten root, showing that that rotten root can ruin everything for all of Klal Yisrael, that we work as one unit, and only once we remove that, then can we go forward. Then can we truly be Kadosh. True Kedusha, which is the definition of what the land needs to be, is a total and complete dedication to God and to God's mission, a total dedication to Brit, whether it be the Aron Brit, whether it be Brit Milah, whether it be whatever nature that Brit is. If you're not totally dedicated to that Brit on every level, it's not pure Kedusha, and the land cannot sustain you, the land will not support you, and the Kadosh Baruch will not be with you. This was an integral lesson for Bnei Yisrael to learn. Yeriko, they were given direct instructions. It was very clear. The imagery that we talked about was clear. The procedure was laid out for them piecemeal. They knew exactly what to do. They were then told, okay, now go forward and go on your first military conquest. And what happens? We do it our own way. We've got this plan. We don't need so many people. We're totally fine. God's with us. This is going to be easy peasy. Nothing to worry about. We'll take over the land. It's done. And God's like, no. I brought you into Eretz Yisrael to work. To work the land. Working the land means, literally, you're no longer getting man. But working the land also means to work within the context of the land, which is a context of Kedusha, relationship with God, and keeping him at the center at all times. And the second that he moves out of the center, there's no longer a brit, and you don't have a chance. So this was an important and integral lesson for Bnei Yisrael to learn, embodied by Achan. Achan, who himself was representing the ways in which one could stray from Kedusha. Achan, who defines himself as choosing what he chose for stealing what he stole in Pasuk Chaf Aleph. That I stole all of these things. Why? Ve'ech medeim, ve'ech achim. I desired them, and then I took them. It was all about me and my personal desires. That's what we have to get rid of. We have to get rid of the Akor. That's where he's eventually sent. Achan is eventually stoned, thrown down, and buried in the bottom of a valley that's called Emek Achor. What does Achor mean? Achor. Deep, dark, or thick. A term that's used consistently to talk about the deep, dark, thick physicality of this world. If you let the physicality of this world overtake you, and you let your desires overtake you, you won't succeed. You need to uproot them, destroy them, and bury them deep down in the valley, Emek, the deepest of places, in Emek Achor. You need to go into that place where everything is murky, that place of what we talked about in the Bereishis Shiurim of conflicted motivations. Remove any conflicted motivations that you have, and be totally dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the goal. Once we've destroyed Achan and buried him in Emek Achor and learned the lesson that Achan teaches us about what it really takes to conquer this land, then we can take a totally different strategy and figure out what it actually takes to conquer the land through Ai, which will be the only other nation that we're really going to talk about in depth, because Ai is going to be that paradigm. We then break in Perek Tet for an interesting story, and then we just wipe out the rest of the land. But our paradigm for wiping out the land is in Yericho, and our lesson about how to make that practical, the trial and error phase, so to speak, our Prakim Zion and Chet in terms of the battle with Ai and what it teaches us. Adkan for today. No pun intended.